Jesus, the Jewish archetype. There are a small number of deluded Gentile fools who try to claim the Nazarene was a Gentile. The following biblical scriptures prove beyond any doubt the Jewishness of the Nazarene and his relation to the Gentiles. As for the Jewishness of his teaching, see Christianity and Communism, Jewish Twins. It's a separate article, and I'll be doing an audio sermon on that. The Nazarene is a fictitious Jewish-invented archetype for Gentiles to slavishly worship. This character is based upon some 18 more crucified pagan gods stolen and corrupted from Gentile pantheons. For more information proving the Nazarene character is fictitious, click on the links provided. Okay, I've got links at the bottom of the webpage, and I'll tell you what they are when I'm done here. And I'll also be doing audio sermons on that. The Jews themselves know the Nazarene is a lie. Matthew 1:1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Who is Abraham? Genesis 14:13. And there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshol and brother of Aner, and these were confederate with Abraham, with Abram. Genesis 17:10. This is my covenant which ye shall keep, between me and you, thy seed after thee, every man child among you shall be circumcised. Circumcision was not a popular practice among Gentiles. Male circumcision in the Renaissance. Okay. Europeans, with the exceptions of the Jews, did not practice male circumcision. In 1753 in London, there was a proposal for Jewish emancipation. It was furiously opposed by the pamphleteers of the time, who spread the fear that Jewish emancipation meant universal circumcision. Men were urged to protect the best of your property and guard their threatened foreskins, a striking indication of how central to their sexual identity men considered their foreskins at that time. Until well into the 19th century, the same sentiments prevailed. Richard Burton observed that Christendom practically holds circumcision in horror. This attitude is reflected in the 9th edition of the Encyclopedia Britannica, 1876, which discusses the practice as a religious rite among Jews, Muslims, and ancient Egyptians and tribal peoples in various parts of the world. The author of the entry rejected sanitary explanations of the procedure in favor of a religious one. Like other body mutilations, it is of the nature of a representative sacrifice. Matthew 1:2. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. Hebrews 7:14. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. Matthew 2:1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Matthew 2. Saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. According to rabbinical law, and in the tradition of male Jews, the Nazarene was circumcised and named on the eighth day in the temple, Jewish term for synagogue, by a rabbi. Luke 2:21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Jesus' mother Mary was also very observant of Orthodox Jewish law, where a woman is unclean following her menstrual period or childbirth. Leviticus 12:1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Leviticus 12:2. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a woman have conceived seed, and born a man a child, then she shall be unclean 7 days, according to the days the separation, for her infirmity shall she be unclean. And in the 8th day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. And she shall then continue in the blood of her purifying 33 days. She shall touch no hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purifying be fulfilled. Modern Orthodox Jews still hold these laws. The following scriptures are rather blatant regarding the Jewish identity of the Nazarene and his relation to non-Jews, Gentiles. Luke 2:25, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem, and his name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolidation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do after him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms, and blessed God, and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel." Note, in the above verse 32, the distinction between Gentiles and Israel. Both of the Nazarene's parents were observant Jews who made the yearly pilgrimage for the feast of the Passover. Luke 2:41, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover." The Nazarene was very clear in his attitudes towards the Gentiles and the distinction between Jew and Gentile. Matthew 20:25, "But Jesus called them unto him and said, Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and that they are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. He was called Rabbi, and by his own people, Jews." John 20:16, "Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself, and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master." John 3:1, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night, and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou dost, except God be with him." John 6:24, "When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, asking for Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither?" John 1:37, "And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where thou dwellest thou? And a Jew by the Gentiles." John 4:9, "Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." He upheld Jewish law. Matthew 5:17, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one little or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." He regularly attended and taught in the Jewish synagogue and observed the Jewish Sabbath. The Jews loved and glorified him. Luke 4:14, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and there went out a flame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read." And another thing I want to add here, a member brought to my attention several years ago that Nazareth, the town of Nazareth, didn't even exist until like the 4th century CE. And I mean, that thing was supposed to be born in the year 0, which I'm going to get to that too. But that town of Nazareth didn't even exist until 400 years after that fictitious, worthless archetype was supposed to have been born. So, I mean, it's terrible. Lies, 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 lies. Okay, Luke 21:37. And in the daytime he was teaching in the temple, and at night he went out and abode in the mount that is called the Mount of Olives. And all the people came early in the morning to him in the temple for to hear him. Only Jews were allowed in the temple. Gentiles were, and are to this day, considered unclean by both conservative and Orthodox Jews. Acts 21-25. As touching the Gentiles which believe, we have written and concluded that they observe no such thing, save only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols, and from blood, and from strangled, and from fornication. 26. Then Paul took the men, and the next day, purifying himself with them, entered into the temple to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification, until that an offering should be offered for every one of them. And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him, crying out, Men of Israel, help! This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law, and this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple, and hath polluted this holy place. Note the above scriptures do not pertain to the Nazarene, but to Paul. The Nazarene was long gone at this time, according to scripture. Though Paul was a Jew, his mission was to the Gentiles. Like his parents, he observed the Passover. John 2:13. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. John 7:2. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast, and said, Where is he? John 7:14. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. Luke 22:14. And when the hour has come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him, and he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. He also observed Hanukkah. John 10:22. And it was at Jerusalem the feast of the dedication, and it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. He quoted the Hebrew scriptures. Matthew 4:1. Then was Jesus led up into the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward at hunger. When the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceedingly high mountain, and sheweth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only thou shalt serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came, and ministered unto him. Deuteronomy 8:3. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Deuteronomy 6:16. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God, as ye tempted him in Massah. Deuteronomy 6:13. Ye shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Note, In the above scenario, though fictitious, Satan approached the Nazarene not as an equal, but as a superior. An equal does not worship an equal. He readily admitted to his Jewish identity. Mark 15:2. And Pilate asked him, Art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered, and he answering said unto them, Thou sayest it. Many deluded Gentiles claim the Nazarene was murdered by the Jews. Thus he must be a Gentile. This is utter nonsense, as the scriptures prove otherwise. The Jews only punish their own for breaking Jewish law, as only one born of a Jewish mother can be a Jew and held accountable to Jewish law. Matthew 26:64. Jesus saith unto him, Thou hast said, Nevertheless I say unto you, Hereafter shall ye the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, He hath spoken blasphemy. What further need ye of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What ye think? They answered and said, He is guilty of death. John 19:7. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him, and judge him accordingly to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? He was buried as a Jew. John 19:40. They took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen cloth with spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Okay, and the references for this article is Wikipedia, The History of Male Circumcision, and the website Jesus is a Jew, and the Bible, the King James Version. And here the problem, and here's the post comment here. The problem is most people believe what they are told. In order to expose Christianity, one must delve deeply into forbidden knowledge. When one begins intense research into the occult, occasionally one will meet with frightening experiences. This is because of the mind and spiritual power that has been put into protecting this knowledge for centuries and keeping it forbidden. Orthodox Jews at the higher levels and their Gentile lackeys, such as the ultra-corrupt Vatican of the Catholic Church, which is and always has been their tool to control Gentiles, have known about and used this power for centuries. One must continue on relentlessly, and there comes a point where the real truth will be accessed and the powers the enemy has used were no longer effective. Just to clarify, this is not... Okay. You have to know about the powers in the mind and soul. And when you're under the protection of Satan, he protects you, I mean, like, to a certain extent. And a lot of these, I'm just telling you, these occult curses and curses on witchcraft, stuff like that, are from humans. Doesn't have anything to do with God. Okay, and I also want to add, in light of new knowledge, I have much revising to do. Okay, to sum it up, concepts, most of which relate to the magnum opus of spiritual alchemy, have been stolen, corrupted, and made into characters and places in order to remove spiritual knowledge and keep it in the hands of a chosen few so they can exploit the world.